good looks, maybe it's the eye colors or the hair color of one of your parents or grandparents. Maybe it was their lovely temperament, the way in which they acted. I wonder if you're more like your mother or your father, or genuinely that combination of both. Who do people see when they look at you? As I grow older, I think people see my dad more and more in me. That's interesting because some of my temperamental ways are not like him, and then others are. So it's that kind of mix of things that we have inherited. And often they're great. They're good things. And then there's the sort of, then there's the practical, the kind of inheritance of property or funds or resources. And that can be a really, really good thing as well. We can be blessed by that, right? And we can find that a real blessing, except sometimes an inheritance is not all it's made out to be. It can be a liability sometimes that drags us down. You remember just in recent years, they've worked out that the BRCA gene that for many people causes problems with breast cancer goes back to some poor lady who lived in the Orkney Islands in 1700 or just before that. And so not everything is always a good thing to inherit. We inherit maybe sometimes debts. We inherit family problems. And those liabilities then drag us down. And Romans 5 is really pointing in that direction. That's where I want it. I know it's a sort of, it's not a pleasant thought, is it, to think about those things that we'd rather not have inherited. And Romans 5 points us to one of the things that we would definitely, definitely like not to have inherited, because it's a terrible inheritance that we have received. And it points that out in verse 12, where it says, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. In this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Our terrible inheritance is death. And it comes to us through one man. This is the way that the Apostle Paul sees it. He's tied it right back to the beginnings as he understands them to be. And he is taking it back to that one man, Adam, whose name means man. And he says, this man was the one who set us all up. Our forefather gave us all death. He infected us with a disease that has a definite consequence. Through his disobedience, that in verse 19, through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. His determination to go his own way rather than God's way has led to this. Because what he didn't realize at that moment was that any deviation from God's way was a deviation from the path of life. That our Creator had set before him the path of life, and he sets that before us too. And as we deviate from that, we are deviating from the pathway of life. And that can only mean non-life. We have to get back to the pathway to find life. We have to get back to God's perfect intentions, to the Creator's perfection. Now, this is an unavoidable inheritance. It talks about that in verse 14. Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. Adam broke a command. It was his disobedience that brought this on. But there were others who'd never heard of God's law. But they also died. And so this unavoidable inheritance was passed on regardless. The law tells us where we've gone wrong, but we don't need the law to go wrong, right? We don't need the law to actually die. We die because of what we have inherited. And it has become a deep law of nature, written deep into all of us. And so it is that we're all caught up and swept along in this flow that seems to be unavoidable. Now that's the bad news. That is one man's inheritance. When we look back into our who do you think you are tree of ancestors, the one man, Adam, at the beginning, passed this on to us, and it's bad news. And we don't have any choice in the matter, but he doesn't want to stop there. Now for the good news. This is what we celebrate with this remembrance meal in a while. There is one man's inheritance, but one man's gift. And he keeps using this phrase, one man did this, one man did that. And one man gives us an amazing gift. Jesus gives us all life. If you were here a couple of weeks ago when I spoke on Romans 5, 1 to 11, you'll have heard me mention about this phrase, so how much more? How much more? And the apostle gets carried away with this phrase, and he uses it twice in this passage. How much more in verse 15? How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Adam gave us an inheritance of death. Jesus gives us an inheritance, a gift actually, of life. How much more? An inheritance you're lumbered with. A gift is something that you're given. How much more? That terrible flow threatens to sweep us all away. But here is another flow, an overflow of God's love and grace that spills over and into all of our lives and is also able to carry us away. Look at these one man references in verse 16. In one man, his sin leads to death for all. But in one man, many sins found justification. In verse 18, in one man, the trespass led to condemnation for all. But in one man, one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all. In verse 19, one man's disobedience made many sinners, but one man's obedience makes many people righteous. Paul is setting up these contrasts between one and another. And we're meant to think about which side we're on. Now, we can't help but fall into Adam's side, but we have an opportunity that he's going to set out before us to find ourselves on the other side. And here's the good news, because it's not natural, it's supernatural. It's not inheritance, but it's actually adoption, as he's going to go on in the later chapters of Romans beyond chapter 5 to actually spell out. This is not a natural process, but a supernatural process. So the question for us is this: what is in control? What's in control of me? What's in control of you? Is it the natural inheritance or the supernatural gift? Death reigns from the time of Adam, verse 14. It rules. It's in control. It's an inescapable fact of our lives. Death is in control. And that came with Adam, and it was his inheritance. And it speaks there again in verse 17. If by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, death in control. That is our inheritance. But then look at verse 17 and the back end of that verse, because it says, how much more, the second time he uses that phrase, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and gift of righteousness reign in life? A change of control has taken place. Death has control in the sense that it reigns over us, but as we step into God's grace through Jesus in the gift of his righteousness, we find the ability to overcome the rule of death and to place ourselves in the reign of life. Who's in control? Through one man, Jesus. Or is it not just inheritance or gifts, but law? Is it the law or is it grace? And this is found in verse 20 and 21, where Paul wants to explain what the law is about. The law highlights our wrong turns, but it can't save us from them. Perhaps by highlighting them, it tries to stop us from taking them, but it can't save us from them. When we've actually taken a wrong turn, we can't use the law to get back on track. It condemns us instead to the consequences of those wrong turns. So verse 21a says this, so that just as sin reigned in death, so the law causes sin to reign in death, because the law just points out where we've gone wrong. But Jesus gives us another way. Look at the second half of verse 21. So also grace might reign, rule, be in control through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's an amazing quote from Charles Cransfield. He says this, that one single misdeed should be answered by judgment. This is perfectly understandable, that the accumulated sins and guilt of all the ages should be answered by God's free gift. This is a miracle of miracles, utterly beyond human comprehension. We can see that certain things should have consequences. What we can't see is that in the abundance of all the consequences, Jesus finds a way to bring it all together and help us find a way back to that pathway of life. We're going to find life in all its fullness. So here is the core of the Christian message in 10 verses. One man, Adam, gave us an inheritance. And here is humanity's core problem, death. One man, Jesus, gifted us with God's most amazing solution, his grace, his life. But, and this is really important, but the gift doesn't come naturally. Death comes naturally. The gift comes supernaturally. It must be received. Look what it says in verse 17. If by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace? Did you get that? How much more will those who receive it? If you don't receive it, you're on your own. You're facing the consequences of nature and your inheritance by nature. But if you receive God's gift, you receive his great gift. You've received the great gift of his life, a life that saw through death and rose again, a life that rules and reigns forever and ever. It's like being offered a life-saving medication, you know, like anti-venom or some sort of treatment that you urgently need, and you have to have the treatment for it to work. It's no good if it stays in the bottle. It's no good that it exists. It's no good that it's available. It needs to become part of you. You need to receive it And the same with God's gift through Jesus. Now, my friends, there is enough to go around. That's what the Apostle Paul speaks about here, because we might think, well, yeah, but am I included? And he says it in verse 15, this gift of God's grace overflows to the many through Jesus Christ. In verse 18, he says that just as there was one trespass that resulted in condemnation for all people, so there is also one righteous act that results in justification and life for all people. It's there, it's available. And in verse 19, through Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Here's where we end up, because it ends up with a choice that is yours and mine to make. Which man will we choose? One man who condemns us to the consequences of his actions and ours, or one man who gives us grace and hope and life eternal? Who is going to have the final say for you? And that's really what we're turning to now, as Andrew's going to lead us in celebrating the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate the choice that we make and the choice that's set before us in the person of Jesus. Thank you, Andrew.